Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Kenya. And I praise the Lord for this time to speak about God's plan for prosperity. What does the Bible say about prosperity? Is God for prosperity? Is he against it? Does he want us to stay poor? Does he want us to be rich? What does God want? And what does he teach in his word? Well, there's a lot of disagreement, a lot of discussion, a lot of dissension amongst the body of Christ, and a lot of people point accusing fingers at some pastors, some preachers who are preaching about prosperity, and there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance in all the doctrinal issues in the Bible. There has to be a balance because you can get overboard, you can get overloaded on one subject and you can fall into the ditch on one side, and yet there's a ditch on the other side of the road as well. And so God wants us to take the whole counsel of Scripture into consideration. Every aspect of the prosperity gospel is talked about in great detail from the start all the way to the finish. You might say Adam and Eve had the greatest prosperity because they were living in the Garden of Eden and everything that they needed was provided for them. Everything that they needed, God said, you can eat of every tree that's in the garden and avail yourself of the fruit of every tree that's in the garden except for one tree. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were not able to keep themselves away from that. Eve took from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and she handed that fruit to Adam. And so now we have this earth that we are living in, that everything comes by struggle, everything comes by toil, everything comes by the sweat of our brow, and that was prophesied over Adam and Eve after they had fallen, after they had sinned. It said it's going to be a struggle. You're going to have difficulty getting your yield of the fruit from this earth. And certainly that is true. That's why we call work work. That's why we call a job a job. And so we have a struggle here. But beloved, there is a balance to that toil. There is a balance to that life, and I don't believe God wants people to live in poverty. I've seen plenty of it in my day, not only here in Africa. I've been in six countries in Africa, and so I've seen plenty of my share of poverty, and I've also had times in my life when I've lived in poverty. I would have been in the poverty category amongst people in the United States of America. And I've also seen poverty in Mexico, all through Mexico, Tijuana and Mexico City and all those cities on the border where we have built houses there in Mexico. I've seen my share of poverty there and in Guatemala, Costa Rica, other places around the world. And so we're going to take a look here and just see what Scripture says. And I've tried to pick out a balance of Scripture, and we'll look next week about the other side of the coin, and that is the suffering that God calls us to. We'll take a look at that, and we will come up with a balanced viewpoint of what God has for us and the gifts and the blessings that God has for us in the kingdom of God. When we walk in the glory of God, when we walk in a kingdom and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we experience that life here on this earth, and we'll look at that aspect of it from every aspect, every angle, so that we can get a balance and have wisdom and understanding about this subject. Well, Jeremiah 29:11 is probably one of the most famous passages in the whole Bible. And Jeremiah, granted, is speaking to the house of Israel. He's speaking to people, and you could say, well, that isn't for us. But we can learn from every passage of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is given to us for instruction and reproof and teaching. And so we can learn from this passage of Scripture. And Jeremiah says to the people there, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future." Well, he was speaking that to a particular set of people, you might say a subset of people. God was telling them he was going to bring them back from their captivity, and he was going to prosper them, and he would not harm them. His plans were to prosper them. And if you study the nation of Israel today, and you study all the inventions and the Nobel Prizes that have been given to people and inventors in Israel regarding all kinds of sciences and mathematics and chemistry and every facet of knowledge, every facet of study, the nation of Israel has certainly been blessed, certainly come to know the blessings of the Lord, the prosperity of the Lord when God brought them back from captivity and allowed them to establish their own nation. They were blessed. They were blessed. We can incorporate this into our worldview. We can incorporate this into our knowledge of God, that he wants to bless us. He wants to show us the blessings of his kingdom. He wants to show us the blessings of our being obedient to him, and then we receive the blessings not only of the generalized blessing. It says in the Bible that the rain falls on the righteous and on the wicked. Well, we have that rain because it falls on everybody. But God also has a special blessing for those who keep his commandments, for those who listen to his teachings and apply his teachings and his commandments to their life. And so that is what we're focusing on today. Well, the first point I want to make regarding prosperity, and God speaks about this many, many times in especially the book of Proverbs, but we can see this in the people who lived in the Old Testament days, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, King Solomon, many, many of the people, the characters we would call them of the Bible, were very prosperous because they worked, they had a work ethic, and that is something that is missing with some people today, even in America, which was founded on work. In going back to the colonial times, Captain John Smith says to the people, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so the first premise that I believe God lays out for us, and it's all through the book of Proverbs, I encourage you to read the book of Proverbs from front to back, and you'll get many, many gleanings of wisdom there. What Solomon wrote is what God believes. What Solomon wrote was what he put to practice in his own life. And he was considered to be the wisest man on the earth at that time, maybe even still at this day, the wisest man that has ever lived. And yet he made mistakes. He was full of sin. And yet he wrote some amazing proverbs. And Proverbs, I'm just picking out three here that talks about work. Proverbs 15:19 says, "The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." Well, beloved, we have hedges of thorns here in Africa. They're called kayaba bushes, and you cannot get through them. You cannot penetrate them. People plant them around their shamba. They plant them around their houses, and they keep the thieves out. They keep even the dogs out. And so a hedge of thorns is not something you want to have to deal with. It is not something that you want to have to work through to gain prosperity. But it says the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. And so when you do the right thing, when you make good choices and you live a life of righteousness, righteousness is doing the right thing before God. It says this is like a highway. Well, if you want to go somewhere fast, you get on the highway. And if you don't care if you get there in a hurry, if you don't care if you get there at all, just take the mud road in Africa and you may be days just getting 20 kilometers to the next village. And so the way of the upright, when you make good choices, and that includes working, getting up, having a work ethic, getting up in the morning, getting up and going to a job and showing up and doing a good job, putting forth good effort, that is the beginning of prosperity. That is the secret to the beginning of prosperity. And I understand also that a lot of people in America especially, and even here in Kenya, people inherit their father's land and their grandfather's land. And in America, we have a lot of inherited money that gets passed down. But that can also be a curse, as we have seen in some families in America. that inherited money can be a curse because it doesn't encourage people to work. It doesn't encourage people to get out and try to be an entrepreneur, try to be creative, and try to do things that betters themselves and their community. And so God is encouraging not laziness, but he is encouraging work. Well, Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." Well, we all know people that stand around and talk all the time. We all know farmers that stand and talk for hours at a time, and not just farmers, but people in town, people at the pool hall, people at different places that talk, talk, talk. Well, talk is cheap. Beloved, talk is cheap. It's talk is cheap here in Africa. It's very hard for Africans to walk down the road and not stop and talk to people because they have no sense of time. In many cases, the people in Africa, they don't understand time. They don't really see time as a valuable resource. And so they can spend all day talking to people. In Africa, it's more about relationships. They cherish relationships. And so they never pass anybody without stopping to talk if they know them or if they're a family member. And so talk can be very cheap, but it can also lead to poverty. And so Proverbs says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." So when you get out and work, and when you put forth your effort, put forth your muscle, and you put forth some labor to chop the weeds or dig the shamba or prune the trees or whatever it is you do, fix a boda boda or fix a car, you are going to profit by it because God says there is profit in labor. Proverbs 16:26, "The person who labors, labors for himself, and his hungry mouth drives him on." Well, that's the good thing about not having inherited money, is that your own hungry mouth drives you on. You don't have somebody else to support you. And that is a great argument against the great welfare system that we have in America. Thank God in America we have a welfare system for people who truly need it, and people who are destitute and disabled and can't work, don't have a body that they can use to work. But thank God also that we have people in America that get out and work and contribute to the Social Security system, contribute to workmen's compensation, contribute to paying the taxes in America, because if it were not for them, we wouldn't have nice roads, we wouldn't have a safety net, we wouldn't have food stamps, we wouldn't have aid for disabled children. And so thank God for people that still get out and work and have an able body and are able to pay their taxes and are able to provide that safety net. You might be shocked to know that in Africa there is, at least here in Kenya, a very, very tiny safety net. The elderly get a very tiny pension from the government. It doesn't amount to too much, about here in Kenya, $20 a month for most of the common people. If they were not teachers or government employees, their government pension is very, very small. And so you see the elderly out digging in their shamba. You see the elderly cleaning maize and cleaning beans. And so the elderly work, most of them, up until the day they die, to the best that they can. They sow and they do things that contribute to the welfare of their families and to the welfare of their village and their community. And so that particular scripture speaks against the welfare system. They says that person who labors, labors for himself, but his hungry mouth drives him on. And so it's good for people to be hungry. It's good for people to be working. And when they work, they get a satisfaction that is pertinent to the work that they do, and it is linked to the work that they do. You reap what you sow. When you sow hard work, God is going to bless you with the abundance and the riches that come from your hard work. Well, Matthew 6:24 talks about another aspect of riches, and that is that we do not want to make riches and money an idol in our life. And this is what Jesus was referring to in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what Jesus was referring to when he was talking about trying to serve two masters, is that if you make money an idol or the pursuit of money, the Bible says it isn't money that is the root of all evil, it is the love of it. And so when you make the love of money your pursuit and you make it an idol in your life, in other words, that takes over your life, and after a while you don't have any time for pursuits with your family, you don't have any time to study your Bible or to read your Bible or to pray or to go to church because you're in this nonstop cage and you don't have any time for spiritual pursuits because you have made money an idol in your life. And that is what Jesus is addressing here in Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and more than clothing? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature, or one day to your life, for that matter? You're not supposed to be worrying about what you're going to put on your body, or worrying what you're going to put on your table for food, but you are not to worship and serve mammon to the point where it takes over your life. You have no time for spiritual pursuits. You have no time for your family. You have no time to sit and talk with your children, with your wife, with your spouse. And so that is when you have made money and the pursuit of money an idol in your life. And Jesus says you will despise either one or the other. You cannot be loyal to mammon. You cannot serve mammon and serve God at the same time. And at the same token, that is not an excuse to be lazy. That isn't an excuse to sit around and do nothing. You can't say, well, God says we can't serve mammon and serve him at the same time, so I'm going to hang around at the church. That's what happens here in Africa many times. The lazy people, especially the men, they hang around at the church day after day, playing around with the keyboard and pretending to be in a prayer meeting. And they let the women do the work out at the shamba. They let the women do the digging and the planting and the hoeing. And they say, well, I'm pursuing God here in the church, and I'm being the righteous one, and I don't have to work because I'm playing around here at the church. And that is not God's will, beloved. It is God's plan that you get out and work. And if you're listening to me here in Africa, if you're listening to this message, God wants you to work. Even the pastors, he wants you to work. It's okay for you to plant a garden. It's okay for you to drive a boda. It's okay for you to fix tents. The Apostle Paul did, and he got along just fine with it. And so that is God's will also, that you get out and work and contribute to the welfare of your family. If your church does not make enough, or your church does not contribute to the point where you are self-sufficient through pastoring, then get out and work and find something to do to take care of your family. Well, regarding the serving of mammon, Proverbs 11:28 says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. In other words, if you get to the point where your riches are the most important thing to you and you trust them to carry you through every situation, then you will fall, says the Lord, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. And so you need to keep it in balance. You need to keep pursuit of riches in perspective and not love money and not love the pursuit of it, but you understand that you have to have money to pay your bills. You have to have money to buy food. You have to have money to put clothing on your family and money to pay the school fees. And so God speaks to those who trust too much in their riches, and he says you will fall. Well, Psalm 68:10 says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And so it is not God's will that you shift your allegiance to riches, that they become an idol in your life. I have many rich friends. I know many people who have done very well in life. I thank God for them. I thank God for their bank accounts, the money that is in their bank account. And I pray that God will continue to supply every need that they have, plus an abundance, so that they can support the ministry, so that they can send missionaries overseas, not just myself, but other missionaries. And so I thank God that we have people who have done very well, and because of the free enterprise capitalist system we have in America and here in Kenya also, people who work hard can do well. People can prosper when they work hard, when they are diligent. But God wants you also not to set your heart on those riches. He wants your heart to be set on Him. Okay, so then we have the giving aspect of financial prosperity, the giving aspect. How can you return to the Lord that which has been given to you? Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, spilling over, it shall be given into your bosom. For with the measure you measure out, it shall be measured unto you. Well, this is an instruction on how you're to give into the church. I believe we should, at the minimum, tithe. If you're doing well, if you have a job and you have a regular income, at the very least, I believe you should be tithing, but I believe it's okay and even a blessing for you to even give more of the money that God has blessed you with. And we don't give into the kingdom because we know that's some kind of a give to get scheme. That isn't what God's saying. We don't give to get. That isn't our motivation. But we give into the kingdom because we want to see the kingdom flourish. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see, because that is God's will. We want to see the kingdom flourish here on this earth. Well, how is it going to flourish? The people of God have got to give into the kingdom so that it can flourish. It costs money to send missionaries overseas. It costs money to preach crusades. It costs money to build medical clinics here in Africa. It costs money to build churches here in Africa. It costs money to build children's homes here in Africa. And beloved, I tell you, if it wasn't for Christians providing all of those things here in Africa, this would be a miserable place, because the people here are very poor. They don't have the money to build hospitals and clinics. They don't have the money to build children's homes. And it's not just that they have a poverty mentality, which they do, but also because they have been exploited as people by colonial powers for many, many centuries. They don't have the foundation and the beginnings of a great culture and a great prosperous culture and country like we do here in America. And so we give, and when we give abundantly, when we give generously, then God says, oh, I like that. I'm going to bless you according to the way you give. I'm going to bless you, and then you can receive into your bosom with the same measure that you give out and the same measure that you have measured when you give. And so Proverbs 13:7 says, there is one who makes himself rich yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor yet has great riches. And so when you give away, freely you have received, freely give. When you give away that which God has given you, and you bless the poor, you bless the missionaries, you bless the churches, and you bless the pastor, you bless the medical clinics here in Africa, when you do that, you make yourself poor in a way, because you're taking from your own abundance. And yet, when you try to hold on to that money, God says, you're going to make yourself poor. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Beloved, when you live a life of righteousness, when you live in right standing with the Lord, and you do the right thing, the wealth of the sinner is going to be stored up for you. Going back to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the wealth of the sinner is going to be stored up for you. Jesus said to that one who buried his talent in the ground, give it to the one who already has 10 talents, because he's going to use this one wisely. And for the one who buried his one talent in the earth, take it away from him and cast him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, beloved, I hope that you give generously, not just to this ministry, but to other pursuits of the kingdom of God. God knows your heart. He knows whether you're given with a joyful heart, with a generous heart, and he knows when you're hoarding and when you're idolizing money and when you're hanging on to it and you're making mammon your God in place of the one true living Jehovah God. Well, thank you for listening today. Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. Gathered the Outcast is also a missionary organization, a missionary agency, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and I pray that you would consider your part in sending me to Africa and keeping me here in Africa, blessing the Crusades, blessing the Children's Home, blessing the preaching and the church that we have established here in Africa. Without you, it is not possible to continue. Without you, it is not possible to preach the good news of the gospel all over Africa. And so I pray that you pray about your part in helping to push forward the kingdom of God here in Africa. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a good week.